Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Avs, Kings,
tonight.
Come on now. Tyler, give me a prediction. Even with the backup goalie in there, do the Avs pull it out and win the
President's Trophy?
I was going to say the Calvin Coolidge Trophy. I'm not sure what president's named after.
Nice.
Perhaps the James Monroe Trophy. I don't know.
Yes. They pull it off, D-Mac. They smoked them 6-0 right last night. The Kings are not a very good hockey team. Avalanche are rolling right now. I do think that Bednar's playing a little bit of a risky situation. He's playing cards right now a little bit. And, you know, putting the backup goaltender in there, when you could play Grubauer, you could finish off the season, put your best out there on the ice, try to win the President's Trophy, get home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. That's a big deal. I think he's gambling a little bit right now. I disagree with the decision, but, yeah, I think they still pull it off.
I do, too. Probably not as dramatic as last night's blowout, but I think they get it done. And I think they probably try to put the hammer to the Kings early and then just kind of cruise from there. Either way, exciting night at Ball Arena. Best of luck to the Avalanche. Can't wait to get the playoffs started. And who will win the Howard Taft Trophy? Harding? Should I keep going? One of the Roosevelts?
Sure, keep
ring
going.
It, ring it, Richie.
Yeah. It's a president. We know that much.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that time a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago?
What?
Broncos told us that they were getting calls about Deshaun Hamilton trying to trade him.
I do. We were trying to
convince... No, they weren't trying to trade him, actually. They were just getting calls that other teams wanted to trade for Deshaun Hamilton.
Well, I thought we could get him to the Packers.
Like, maybe that could be a part of it. Okay. Well, and then remember that time that earlier today we were saying that Deshaun Hamilton got waived and we'd moved on from him?
Yeah, what's going on?
No, not true. Hasn't been waived just yet.
What?
Matter of fact, Broncos are making it known to everybody that he's not waived and the door is still open for a trade. So.
Whoa, what happened?
So.
Wait a second, what happened?
That's right. The door is still open for a trade. Will the Denver Broncos be able to trade Deshaun Hamilton?
Wait. What?
That's right.
We all have been talking about this all day?
Correct.
And it's not been absolutely true?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Right.
What?
So we know that they were going to release him, but now they're saying, hold on.
Who's reporting that, by the way?
This is NFL.com. This is coming from our guy, James Palmer.
James Palmer. So not Kliss, not Troy, not Leggy. This is from James Palmer that he's...
I apologize. It's Mike Garofalo.
Garofalo, but not one of our guys.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, so this is an article on NFL.com. It was posted at 4:04 p.m.
Huh. Wow, I'm trying to absorb all this. There's no trade value for him.
He's going to get released tomorrow.
Huh. So are we just dealing with some technicalities then?
Oh, they're trying to hold out for any last hope that they can get a seventh rounder in return for
it. Wow, what a 24 hours of... Water torture for Deshaun Hamilton.
This happens more often than you would think.
Ah, that sucks, man. Yeah. That stinks.
Well, he knows he's done with the Broncos.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it. Wow, man. Nothing. Nobody's going to trade for Deshaun Hamilton. Bring it. Rookie minicamp kicks off tomorrow. Who is the most interesting rookie to you?
Great question. Obviously, the easiest storyline to follow is going to be the fan favorite in Quinn Meinerz.
Mm-hmm.
That's everybody's going to be gravitating towards him. They're all going to want to know how he's doing. It's too great of a story, man. I mean, living on a fishing island in Canada and working out in the woods, you're Paul Bunyan out there.
Nice.
That'll be the fan favorite story, and I'll be interested. I've got a personal reason to want to follow him because one of my closest friends trained him for the combine. So I feel like I've got a little bit of a vested interest just to see how he does. Who is the most important rookie for the Broncos is a great question. I would say the most fascinating one is Javonte Williams because you moved up in the second round to go get a running back. Not only did you draft a running back in the second round, but you moved up to go get him. You gave up commodities to go get a running back in the second round. This dude looks great. His film is phenomenal. But he better show up at the NFL level the way that he does in his college film.
Ring it, Richie.
All right, we got this war of words going on with the Packers, and they're both sides are playing the game. They're trying to win the PR battle right now. Packers are saying that it is unequivocally false that Aaron Rodgers was ever told that he would be traded. They're trying to put Aaron Rodgers and trying to paint him with a bad look. Aaron Rodgers is now saying with John Kuntz, through John Kuntz, that, hey, if you offer me the right deal, I would still like to finish out my career as a Green Bay Packer. I think we both would assume that it's over, I think. I don't know where you stand. I still assume that it's over.
Let me play some John Kuntz. Here's what he speculates would get them on the same page.
But quite frankly, I'm sure contract is part of that. I'm sure the years guaranteed is a part of that. Not just being a highest paid quarterback or the highest paid at your position, but I believe the security going forward is a part of that. And I also believe being on the same page is having open communication where all sides feel like they are being heard. To me, when you have a commodity as special as Aaron Rodgers, he deserves a little bit more attention. He deserves a little bit more input. And at this point in time, I wonder if Aaron Rodgers feels like he's getting that type of luxury that if you look around other parts of the league, you may think that some of these players do have that and you might want to covet that yourself.
Well, I mean, if I'm the Packers, it's pretty simple. I offer him a 3-year fully guaranteed deal, make him an insanely high-paid player, the highest-paid player in history.
Not much.
And then
I
tell him, hey, man, you can have a seat at the table with major roster decisions. I'm not telling you that you get to make the decision, but you can come upstairs and you can be a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm doing whatever I have to do. My original question that I was going to go to, though, yeah. I'm making an assumption here, and just roll with me, that this is over, that he's going to be playing somewhere else. So when it's all said and done, who wins the battle of PR? Who looks like the bad guy when it's all said and done?
Rodgers will look like the bad guy to the Green Bay, not the whole, there's a lot of Green Bay fans, a lot of Packers fans all over the world. He specifically will look like a bad guy locally. They will get their PR machine going in the small circle around Green Bay, and he'll look bad to them. He doesn't want to be there. He was really never part of our community. He always wanted to go. He'll look bad to them. The Packers fans all over the world, they won't care about that because they're Packers fans. They live somewhere else anyway. Rodgers will be sort of so-so to them. It'll be some will have bad feelings, some won't care. To the rest of the NFL fans, Tyler, everybody, anybody else who's not in those two groups will have no problem with Aaron Rodgers doing what he does because they ultimately will say, you crapped all over the guy, you didn't draft him any wide receivers, you drafted his replacement, you don't. Why would I want to live in Green Bay? It's a lousy place anyway. He will have the support of the vast majority of NFL fans,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I think there'll be a very small minority that will be mad at Aaron Rodgers when it's all said and done. The
yeah.
Green Bay Packers, in 2 years' time and 3 years' time, they're the team that gave up on yeah. the league MVP.
Right.
They're the organization that let him get that unhappy.
Right.
So whatever temporary battle is going on in the PR department, maybe the Packers are mitigating it a little bit temporarily.
Yeah.
They will be the bad guys when it's all said
and done.
You
know, here's a bigger question. Like, what matters more, the 10 square miles around your stadium or the world in terms of your brand? What matters more? And I think
football, the world, and baseball, the 10 square miles.
Ring it, Richie. What do you think about this? Tom Brady's dad calling into a sports talk radio station in Boston.
The schedule came out last night. And I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season. And that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So
wow.
it's a pretty fun time.
Cutting promos. Wow. I mean, hey, you got Cowboys on that opening night. And then yeah. I think it's Atlanta. Then you got a tough West Coast trip against the Rams. That's going to be a short week for your guy there to get ready. But you still think it's 4-0 coming out of the gate?
You know, they're all tough. But, you know, coming back home to Boston, you know, it's our second home here. And the Patriots are our second favorite team. Our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily.
That's on Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. What do you think of that?
I can't believe that Tom Brady's dad is going on the radio in New England. Clearly, Tom Brady's okay with it. There's no chance that his dad is going on that radio unless Tom is okay with it. Absolutely. That is Senior Tom saying, we are salivating at this opportunity because we hold a grudge against the Patriots.
Right.
I'm actually shocked that Tom is allowing that to go on.
I think it's, like, so insane. But then again, you're Tom Brady. The same rules. He doesn't care. I think most players would be just, like, mortified. But you're Tom Brady. You just get to live in a different world. Ring it, Richie.
Okay, if we're going to make the playoffs, I think we both would agree that it's not going to be winning the AFC West. It's going to be because you made it as a wild card team. So, just looking at the strength of schedule here, I'll put you on the spot here a little bit. No problem if you don't have it all the way thought through. But if you had to think about the top teams that you would be fighting with for the wild card spot in the AFC, do you have a handful that come to mind?
Well, I guess I would just look seriously at, like, the Chargers and the Raiders. I think it would be teams sort of like that. Also,
I would put the Dolphins, Bills in the mix. Whoever wins that one, probably the Dolphins.
See if
right?
the Colts can figure things out there with Carson Wentz. Yeah, it seems like that.
Okay, so let's look at it. Let's look at a few of these teams and where they stand in overall strength of schedule. Okay. So we've got the Broncos sit with the 27th hardest strength of schedule in the NFL.
Meaning it's one of the weaker.
Correct.
It's not that difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bills are at 23. Okay. Let's see. Who else are we looking for?
Bills are going to win the AFC East.
Again. Yeah, I agree. So I'm really looking for the Dolphins is what I'm looking for.
Dolphins are interesting.
Dolphins are tied with the Broncos, so same strength of schedule.
Okay,
so no major difference there. Raiders. Where are the Raiders at? Raiders have the 8th most difficult schedule in the NFL.
Good. Where are the Colts at?
Okay, Colts. Final one.
Although the Colts may win that division.
Colts?
Tennessee.
Colts could.
That'll be interesting.
Win the division.
They could, but Tennessee could too.
Colts are 23. So we're all pretty similar except for the Raiders who've got the most difficult strength of schedule.
Suck it, Raiders.
Is that a good thing? Do you feel?
Yeah, that's a really good thing. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad. Where are the Chargers, by the way? That's the last one to.
Chargers are at 17. So they're 10
awesome.
Spots ahead of us.
So the Chargers and the Raiders both have a tougher schedule than the Broncos. Awesome.
As of today, which we all know it's not going to end up being that way, but sure.
It's one game at a time, one day at a time, and on the surface, that looks great.
Yeah, that feels pretty good. If you're fighting for the wild card spot, hey, man. We've got the easiest strength of schedule, the teams we're fighting with.
And it shows you that we sucked the most in the AFC West last year. Ring it, Richie.
Wrap it up.
I mean, that's what it is.
That's another way to look at it.
MLB The Show is now available for PlayStation and Xbox consoles at theshow.com. Be caller 4 now and win a copy of MLB The Show 21 for PlayStation 4. 1043. I still have to look at the number.
Why?
I know.
I don't like.
It's sad. It's pathetic.
What's the name of our station?
Well, there is a story.
I know.
You don't want.
I know you're going to go with the technicalities here. No. Who are we today?
No, we're 104.3 The Fan.
Correct. Yeah. So that's the last part.
You know what my conflict is.
What's that?
My favorite station growing up was WBC.
Not The Fan?
No.
Wow.
I grew up in Boston. 104.1 WBCN.
Okay.
Like, you know my.
So you still have dreams that you're working for them?
You know my AOL email still has 104.1 in it.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I have never put two and two together on that one. So you made an email account with the dream that you would be working for that station one day.
Yep. And do you know what that station is right now? This is a true story.
No.
They went to all sports. They changed frequencies. They're 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Ah.
How about that?
Wow.
How about some karma there?
Mm.
Nobody cares. All right, there you go. MLB The Show. Have at it. Hockey guys. Come on, hockey guys.
Right now, cross ice. Borkowski's in with a sharp save. We're done. Score! Giannis Donskoy cleans up in the low slot. Shoot, save, rebound.
Game last night and another one tonight to give us insight and preview this huge matchup. Adrian Dater, our fan Avalanche insider, joins us courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. Saw Dater got on a plane, got himself out to Vegas. How was the high life in Vegas there, Dater?
That was a good trip, man. I'm not usually a Vegas guy, but that was a lot of fun going there. What a place that is. let me tell you guys, the Avalanche need to win this game tonight because they don't want to play game 7 in Vegas if it comes to that. That okay. is a madhouse in there.
Okay. So, are you being for real? Are you being real here or are you joking
around? No, are you referring to the
city?
What are you referring to?
No, I'm serious. It's a really loud, really good home ice advantage for the Golden Knights there. I'm not saying Denver doesn't have it either, but it's at a different level there. I mean, it's Vegas. You know, they've got guys flying off the ceiling. They've got, you know, just incredible amounts of entertainment options during the game. The players are loud. They've got a really good video system.
And it's a thing.
Sound system.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It matters.
So what you're saying is we want to be the president. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, we want to be the president, man. Let's be the president. I mean, it's time to get elected tonight. Colorado Avalanche need to win this hockey game tonight and be elected president of the NHL, regular season at least.
On
the line tonight.
Who is your favorite president pre-1900 that's not Abraham Lincoln?
Oof.
Wow, good question. John Adams, no question.
John Adams, nice. Solid.
Good
I read the
answer.
Book on him.
Yeah.
Solid. On him. Tough relationship he had with TJ, though. I mean, it was rocky, but, you know.
Yeah, it was a little rocky.
Yeah.
It was a little rocky,
but they patched it up right at the end. I mean, he had terrible dental work, too.
TJ.
Both of them died on the same day on July 4th, 1826, too.
Gosh,
that's right.
Dater, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know that you were that smart.
Well, he's writing the musical Adams. So anyways, you got any second guessing on using Johansson instead of Grubauer tonight?
I mean, yeah, I do a little bit.
Okay.
If you don't want to play your resident trophy winner in a game that can clinch home ice.
He doesn't play him back-to-back. Hasn't all year. Why start now?
Okay, but. You know, didn't he have enough rest from, like, COVID and everything else? And, he had 2 weeks off before he played recently, too.
And this is why people hate journalists like Adrian Dater, because they're going to second-guess the best team in hockey.
No, he's right. I mean, you've got everything on the line. Why would you not have your best guys out there?
No,
that's ridiculous.
Don't you want to play your best guy, man?
Of course.
You want to go for the guy who played backup for the Buffalo Sabres to win your biggest game of the year, really?
It's not load management anymore, guys.
Hey, you don't have to.
We're past that point.
You don't have to rip on Steve Shields with Dominic Hasek in my face. You don't have to rub that in my face. All right, we got to let you go. Great game tonight. Great work all year. Can't wait for the playoffs for you to be stuck in an Airbnb in Edmonton or whatever has to happen to you, Dater. You do such a terrific job. We'll read you at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Thanks, Adrian.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
There you go. Adrian Dater, courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche.
Go Oilers!
How great was it, Dater, up in Canada last year in the playoffs?
Feels like yesterday.
It feels like yesterday.
I honestly can't believe that we are a year removed from that. We're not.
We're not.
I had to think about that for a second.
Yep.
It hit me at the same time that it hit you.
You got me there. I was like, wait.
Right?
Wait.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm having
things got out of whack.
Was it August?
I don't know. Yes, it was definitely summer.
Okay.
COVID's a blur.
I know, it really is. Everything seems out of whack. Like, I was so confused. Maybe it's the combination of the weather. Just everything is just weird. And in a typical year, we would be deep into the NBA and NHL playoffs here in mid-May. And now we're just beginning both of them. All right. I mean, it's just taken a second.
Maybe deep into it by now?
I think so.
Really? I thought we were back on a normal schedule right now.
Oh, my God. I don't know, man. No, we're definitely... I don't think we are.
No? Okay. I trust you.
No, maybe you shouldn't. I mean, you know. Hold on. I'm checking something out.
Checking the date? You went to 2001? That's what you went to?
Because that's game seven in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the...
I mean, you couldn't have done just 2019 Stanley Cup finals?
Uh-oh.
He's got a smile.
Uh-oh. What's up?
I never know, though. Sometimes he smiles when it's bad news because he's that kind of guy.
What's up, Richie?
Per our guy Mike Kliss, the Broncos are signing offensive tackle Cameron Fleming to compete with Bobby Massey.
Oh! Wow.
George Payton really adding experienced players to fix the right tackle problem. Hashtag nine sports.
That's fascinating.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, we knew Massey did not get that big of a deal. Oh, man. Not good news for Calvin Anderson right there.
Nope. I mean, if you give $4 million to Bobby Massey, I don't know what the guaranteed number was, but it's probably significant enough that it says he's on the team for Bobby Massey. Either him or Fleming will be the swing tackle, more than likely.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this. I like this. I like this a lot. This is actually pretty dang cool.
I just assumed they liked Calvin Anderson. I guess not.
No. Yeah, apparently Calvin Anderson. This is a bad day for Calvin Anderson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, very interesting.
So now I know what the next project is. Not tomorrow, because we've got one more day of the fan film room.
Yep.
But on Monday, maybe Tuesday, I will be doing a breakdown of Cam Fleming versus Bobby Massey. That's what I'll be doing.
Okay. How old is Fleming?
He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
He's not as old as Bobby Massey.
Well, I did not see that coming, though, huh? When nobody's talked about that.
You know, maybe we should have, based off the contract they gave Bobby Massey. He's
28, huh? Okay, yeah. It's not that old.
No, but I mean, that's probably, you've been in the league for 5-6 years, something like that. Whereas Bobby Massey's been around for 8 years.
Hmm.
Got a lot of experience. Hmm. Cam Fleming doesn't have even remotely the amount of starting experience that Bobby Massey has. Bobby's been a full-time starter from the day he got in the NFL, outside of injuries, which he had with the Bears. Every chance that he's been healthy, he has been a full-time starter.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear what the contract is. I bet it's very, very similar. I bet you it's like a $3 to $4 million deal.
Oh, we got a little camp battle. We got a legitimate camp battle.
So we got a QB battle and we got a right tackle battle.
One year, 3.67.
Almost and identical.
So that's a straight up camp battle right there. That's, yeah, it's almost the same.
Oh, man, though, darn it. Part of me doesn't like that. Part of me doesn't want these guys to have to split the reps. I guess for Bobby Massey, it's okay. He's got enough experience in this league that it's not going to be the end of the world. But let's say Cam Fleming wins the job.
Mm-hmm.
If he were to win the job, he doesn't have that much experience, dude. Mm-hmm. He could use an entire offseason of just being the guy, of getting the reps.
Okay. Ah, interesting. Okay. All right, George.
Depth is never a bad thing, though.
All right, George Payton. So four to Massey. 3.7 to Fleming. That chews up almost all of Juwan James's money.
It's a really big statement about Calvin Anderson for sure, because saying is, man, God forbid something were to happen to Garrett Bowles, who's playing fantastic football.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we have to put over there? You know? Now you've got two pretty legit guys.
Good stuff. Thank you, Richie. Nice job. 4 minutes to go in the first quarter. Nuggets over the Timberwolves 20-18. Jokic already with 12 points. All right, well, man, interesting stuff. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, so here we go. By the way, we got a little Sportsnado going for sure. The Rockies and the Reds get going shortly. down there at Coors Field. We have the Avalanche playing a huge game against the Kings at Ball Arena. And the Nuggets are leading the Timberwolves 30-24. So all sorts of action going on. Meanwhile, some very unexpected news. Cameron Fleming, right tackle, has been signed by the Broncos to a one-year $3.7 million deal. I'm rounding up. And he will just compete straight up with Bobby Massey, who's on a one-year $4 million deal. I thought, basically, Calvin Anderson was the swing guy for the Broncos. I doubt these contracts are guaranteed, so maybe if Massey or Fleming wins the battle, then one of the other one could be gone. Who knows? We'll see. But all of a sudden, we have a straight-up camp battle at right tackle.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time we had just like a real legit tackle competition. I gotta think about that one for a little bit. A straight up, because we always had just bad free agents we would bring in. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, who were our guys? Valdir,
Donald Stevenson. You had Valdir, you had Menelik Watson.
Right.
They were always the guy, though.
They were always the guy.
They might not have been very good, but they were the dude.
Yep. It was just, strike after swing and a miss on all those guys, but they didn't have anybody else they were battling against. You know, it's funny. We were supposed to have a left tackle battle last year. Supposed to. With our buddy the bus lane, Elijah Wilkinson and Garrett Bowles.
That's right. And then
Juwan opted out.
I was trying to remember. Gosh, what the heck happened there?
Yeah.
Juwan opted out. Elijah ends up on the right side. There was no competition, which turned out to be a huge blessing in disguise because I'm sure that Garrett needed all those reps.
Right, and then the NFL changed their holding rules.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Garrett Bowles is an all-pro.
Yeah, perfect. That worked out pretty well. This will be a fascinating battle. So Cam Fleming has been around for a while, man. This is gonna be his seventh year. He's been a swing tackle for five out of his six previous years. Last year was the first year that he had really spent the majority of the season starting, and he started 16 games, but that's it. He's got 16 games of experience as far as a starter.
Interesting.
Bobby Massey has got I'm going to guess 120, something in that ballpark. It's he definitely wins the experience battle. Bobby Massey is, however, a little bit more banged up. He's got more wear and tear on that body.
Yep. Yeah, when we signed Massey and we were digging into him, it's like, ooh, got a little knee thing going on there. Like, is that really... Is that really okay? And this one,
and I told you, if you think back to what I said in my overall review of Bobby Massey, I said he's always been a guy that you say, yeah, he's good enough to be our starter, but the majority of his career, they're probably trying to replace him.
Mm.
Makes sense. So yeah. George Payton views him in a very similar light. He says, okay, he's probably capable of being our starting right tackle, but if we could find a better option out there, I will. So let's go out and let's create a competition. Let's let the best man win.
Yeah, my surprise is I just thought Calvin Anderson was the competition. I thought that was the deal. And it's not, obviously. So, okay. And then you look at it, they're paying two guys. Juwan James is going to make like 10 and a half, and between these two guys, they're making 8. So, okay, here we go. Of course, this points out, though, it's a little roll-your-eyes moment. Like, you just should have drafted a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Either last year or this year.
Well, for sure. And both these guys that you signed are on one-year deals, which means in a year time, okay, if you get lucky... Cam Fleming wins the job. He's got a little bit of life left in him. You give him another contract. He plays good football. You got your right tackle. But you got to get pretty lucky. Number one, he has to win the job. And number two, he has to play good football to warrant earning another contract, right?
Yep.
So the likelihood of you searching for a starting right tackle next offseason is extremely high.
You know what we're going to be? We're going to be possibly...
our 12th straight year.
Right. If they don't get Aaron... If they don't... get Aaron Rodgers. We will be going through a draft season where the conversation's going to be identical to this draft season. Inside linebacker,
right
tackle,
quarterback. Yes, it will be.
We'll be in the same if they don't get Rodgers.
I don't like the way you put that. That doesn't feel very good. So, what did we address? What did we solve?
We
got a bunch of depth. All right, cool.
Maybe Baron Browning's the answer. Maybe he's the truth.
If Baron Browning is the answer, you got lucky, flat out.
That's for sure.
That's just the reality. I think he's a good football player. I think he's got a chance to be the answer. About as much of a chance as Alexander Johnson had of becoming the answer. Mm-hmm. Alexander came in and he played good football. So, okay, Baron Browning could do the same thing. He was the third rounder, right? Not fourth?
You know what's clear? Yeah, he was the third rounder, but he was the last. First of all, he was the Broncos' second third round pick, and he was the last pick of the third round.
Right.
I'll figure, that gets confusing.
A lot of inside linebackers came and went before him.
This is interesting because we'll see a quarterback, we'll see an inside linebacker. We don't have to see it right tackle. They will have to get another right tackle next year.
Yes. Outside of Cam Fleming winning the job and balling out. If he wins the job balls out, he could be the guy.
All right.
But he's got a number one win the job, then he's got a number two play good football. So, D-Mac, yes, you're right. The likelihood of us looking for a starting right tackle next year is very, very high.
Same conversation we had all this spring.
Amazing.
Same conversation.
That makes me want to hit my head against the wall a little bit. This is why I'm telling you, if you drafted the third rounder, at the very least, you've got a developmental guy that you're hoping and praying that, okay, in a year's time, no, he's starting this year. Yes, you would still have to go out and sign a veteran free agent at right tackle. But if you drafted a third round tackle, maybe even a second round tackle, you develop him for a year, and then in a year's time, you hand the keys over.
I would have to ask George Payne if we have him on again. Probably not.
I think you lost that chance when you made fun of his family never seeing him.
I wasn't the one that put out a video with him getting to work at 3:30 in the morning.
Maybe he does that so he can get home at 5, right?
I would have to ask him. What was it about Juwan James that gave you so much faith that he not only would be ready to go for the season, but that you could rely on him based on all the contrary evidence? What was it that made you believe that?
Yeah.
And I bet you he doesn't have an answer for that one.
Well, his answer would be, I never counted on him playing the full year. And I always knew that there were a handful of legitimate options out there at right tackle that if I needed to go sign them, I could. And that's actually probably a true statement. Because, no, your third rounder was not going to be starting this year. There's no excuse for not getting a developmental guy. Because no matter what they did, though, D-Mac, they couldn't have gotten a starting right tackle in this year's draft. They could have drafted Slater in the first round. That wasn't going to happen.
I'm telling you, man, Pat Surtain and Javonte Williams, the floor is yours. Let's see it, guys. Let's see it. But, it's like, let's see something. Better be good.
Yep.
So they're talented dudes, so not to put too much pressure on you, but, you know.
You better ball!
I mean.
Or D-Mac's going to yell at you, and nobody wants D-Mac to yell at you.
Nuggets up 35-30 over the Timberwolves. First pitch going at Coors Field in a little bit. 7 o'clock, top of the hour. Avalanche going for the John Quincy Adams Trophy. No,
sure.
No, there actually is an Adams Trophy. What is our favorite? Calvin Coolidge, president? Calvin Coolidge.
Right.
I'm trying to pick out presidents that are not controversial. Grover Cleveland Memorial President's Trophy.
How do we know that these guys weren't controversial?
To maybe our grandparents, but great-grandparents. But what do they know? Troy Rank will join us with inside information about the deal that went down that's catching all of us by surprise next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, well, we had some breaking news not so long ago, a few minutes ago. Cameron Fleming has been signed by the Broncos as a right tackle to compete with Bobby Massey. Their contracts are virtually similar. This did catch us by surprise. For the latest update on it, it's our guy, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by
ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
Give it to us, Troy. What happened here? We're all kind of surprised.
Yeah, I am a little surprised as well. I thought they might just go with Anderson. Calvin Anderson, a couple camp bodies, and Massey. I do think they looked at it in terms of Massey's injury history. He's missed 14 games the past 2 years, so they could get caught again in the same position they dealt with James a couple years ago. So in Fleming and Massey, they're essentially on the same deal. Massey's 1 year, $4 million. Fleming's 1 year, $3.6 million. You bring him in, you let him compete. I haven't seen the structure of the deal to know if you could release either one of them with little consequence. That might be the case. I know the coaching staff and talking to sources over there, you know, multiple people, they're excited to have him compete. They think that gives him a better chance to cover for the loss of James. So now you have those two, Pope and Calvin Anderson, as the swing tackle. It's a decent position. At $8 million, it's still less than you were going to pay James at $9.85 million.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. And I know I will get asked this. They haven't decided if they're going to pay James his salary. I would do a small settlement just because you have to deal with future agents and players, but they don't have to pay him a dime of the 9.85. But in terms of salary cap space, more than likely that would not happen until next season, because it's 100% certainty that James and the NFLPA will file a grievance if the Broncos decide not to pay him.
Yeah, well, it seems to be like this is going to be pretty tough news for Calvin Anderson. I don't know how he remains the swing tackle at this point. If you got two guys that you're paying close to $4 million, they're both going to get enough guaranteed money to be on the roster. Anyways, Troy, I know a lot about Bobby Massey. I don't know much about Fleming at this point. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to do a fan film room on these two guys, and I'll break it down next week after I've had a chance to watch the film. But he's only started 16 games. What's the word? Why didn't he have anybody pursuing him in the offseason? I mean, did he not? How did he play last year? Do you have any clue?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he had an uneven season last year. He had his moments. You played the position, Tyler. You know, he had games where he was solid, he had games where he was not. You know, Pro Football Focus, you take with a grain of salt. But in terms of, you know, just for this exercise, he ranked 69th in their rankings. Massey ranked 36th. Massey, on paper, is a better player, if healthy. That's the big if. He's going to be 32 in August. We've seen this with tackles and veteran guys. You've got to be careful to just assume after 2 years of lack of health that suddenly they'll be healthy again. We don't know that. And so in the case of Fleming, he profiles for me as a backup. The one thing I will say he did do last year is he proved he can stay on the field. He logged 911 snaps, 90% of the Giants snaps. So he was good enough to stay on the field. And again, that might sound like a consolation prize, but if you're competing and it's equal, the healthy guy sometimes gets the nod, but it does provide competition. One thing we've seen with the Broncos roster over the last few years is they lack depth. And when one thing goes wrong, it's the banana peel and they're slipping on it and the season's over. And I think we're all a little tired of hearing about the injuries because they got struck terribly last year, but I could pick five teams that went through the same thing. I mean, injuries are 100% certainty. And part of the thing it exposes is your lack of depth. And this gives them a much bigger safety net. And we'll see. I trust Mike Munchak. I know he had to have signed off on this. So we'll see. They're in a better position than they were a week ago. And I'll ask you this, Tyler. Do you think they are in a better position with these two competing than if James were going to be the starter coming off essentially two missed seasons?
No. If Juwan James was actually to play football, you're in much better hands with Juwan James actually playing football. But I think you're a fool if you ever thought he was going to play an entire season. So you had to get one of these guys no matter what. Just now you had to get both of them. They're getting backup money, by the way. That's what it is. They're getting swing tackle right. Money. $4 million is what you would get if you were a free agent swing tackle. So, no, I wouldn't say we're better off with one of them starting over Juwan.
How do you win a job as a tackle in camp? And I'm not being sarcastic about
yeah.
that. That's strictly based on Munchak's evaluation?
Yeah, that's a tough one. They're going to be splitting reps, just like our quarterbacks are going to be splitting reps. And in particular, the guy that it will hurt is Fleming. If Fleming wins the job, he needs all the reps he can get in training camp because he's only got 16 games of experience. Bobby Massey will be okay if he wins the job. But that's a tough call. It's going to be a judgment call for our offensive line coaches.
Yeah, or the tackle that gets the leading quarterback in the Derby sack, he's out, right?
True.
That'll be the the swing vote.
Yeah.
All right, Troy, we appreciate
I think they're in a good spot, guys. I appreciate you guys hooking back up with me on it.
Sure.
It does give
thank
them
you.
Depth, and that's not a bad thing.
All right, thank you. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider.
Brought to you by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. a right tackle battle. It's been a while. I'm trying to think of like legitimate offensive line battles, period.
You got to remind me, so Super Bowl year, I was not here during training camp. Tyson Brailo was the starting right tackle, correct?
Correct.
And then they got to go out and they get Ryan in training camp, mm-hmm. Ryan Harris.
Yep.
So he becomes the right tackle at that point. Year before that, was Ty the starter?
Ty was a starter. I'm trying to remember when he hurt his shoulder.
Well, it was the Super Bowl year.
Ty certainly was the starter until he got hurt, and then he just... You know, he just never was quite the same here. He did better when he went to Atlanta.
So I think that would be the last time. Whenever Tyson Brailo was the original starter,
he was the guy. You know, he was drafted pretty high, and you know, everybody thought very well of him, and got hurt. You know, and that you know, it wasn't poor performance; it was injury.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, you know, your pal James Ferentz, who is an awesome dude, he kind of slipped in, but that wasn't really a battle.
Not a tackle.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's a center.
He's like an inch taller than me.
Right.
So, but he'll fight anybody.
The Bulldog.
Dude, that dude was fun to watch in training camp.
You know, he's still sticking around.
What do you mean?
He's still playing football.
For who?
Well, I think he's actually a free agent right now, but last year he was with the Patriots.
Well, I knew that.
So I don't know if he got a job right now, but I mean, he's stuck around for a long time, dude.
He's awesome. He's an awesome guy. You talk about, oh, Tebow's going to show you how to, you get guys like Ferentz, Matt Paradis, you got dudes like that on your team, you're going to be all right. Those are the guys. And Jano, of course, if you had Jano.
James was my little running mate, man. We hung out all the time.
That's awesome.
Good dude. And Evan Mathis. Oh, fantastic, dude. I mean, just salt of the earth, a guy that you could trust with no reps. If you had to put him in there, you know he's going to play good football.
Yeah.
Just typical offensive line. Yeah, that's pretty perfect human being.
A real quick story. I used to write for Mile High Sports Magazine, which I really enjoyed doing for a few years. And I wrote...
They fired you or what?
No. It just kind of petered out. But I wrote a column just about James, just because it was just awesome to watch him day in and day out. I've written and spoken over 30 years about a million athletes, too many to count. The only athlete ever to reach out to me about anything that I've ever said positive, and believe it or not, I've said way more positive things than negative. The only athlete to ever reach out about something positive I said about them was James.
Is that right? Well, now I've got a whole lot less respect for him.
He was like,
and you cannot prove that you've said more positive than negative. You can't prove that.
I swear it's been more positive than negative. Dude, we've had Stanley Cup runs and Super Bowl runs and all sorts of great stuff. And we got Richie, who's not dressed up today. I guess today didn't matter. The Nuggets lead.
Wearing a hat.
The Nuggets lead the Timberwolves 52-39. The Avalanche get going in a huge game at Ball Arena. The Rockies just got it going with the Reds. Let me see real quick. I know. Let me see if there's a score. Hold on, give me a second. No score. Bottom of the first. Let's go, Rockies. We got Connor Joe at the plate. There you go. That being said, Cecil and Nick are coming up next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.